Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, well, well. One of the longest trials one can remember continues as Evan Roberts remains at jury duty. It's me, Sean Morash, and him, Tiki Barber.
What's up,
here.
Sean?
What's up, Tiki? Evan and Tiki. A little shorty today.
This is a short one.
Taking you up till 3:25 where the Yankees and Orioles in a rubber game. We're going to talk about that and more, but I do want to tease something coming up. In about 15 or so minutes, a pretty, pretty big Evan and Tiki WFAN show announcement coming your way. So you want to keep it locked here on WFAN and, of course, free on the Odyssey app. A very, very fun big announcement.
Do I know what this is?
I don't know. You never know. Who knows what around here?
I'm just kidding.
All right. I think that last night and heading into today for the Yankees and the Orioles is a big, big, big brick-by-brick look at the good, the bad, the ugly, the look ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very mixed bag coming off last night, which leads to, I mean, I'm just going to say this, as important a game in mid to late June as you could have on a Thursday afternoon for the Yankees. Let me just start by saying this. Tiki, last night, the Yankees lose in extra innings. Another game lost for them, 1-6 in extra innings. I think you saw a lot of the ugly and a lot of the worry that anybody who doesn't believe in the Yankees as a World Series team is there.
Yeah.
With Clay Holmes not being able to put away guys, dinks and dunks and all of that. Trevino and that arm. What has happened there? And also, if Aaron Judge is out of a lineup, you see the significant loss there. So any worries we had off the Boston series, off the Dodger series, off the two games they lost in a row to Seattle, you know, again, we're talking about teams that are going to be in the playoffs here, and that first 3 out of 4 that they lost into Baltimore, last night was another prime example of why you should feel, you know, like you're allowed to worry.
I think the only worry, because I'm not worried, this is a mid-June game, mid to late June game, The team has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They still, despite losing a series two series ago, have the best record in baseball.
Right.
So I'm not worried about where the future of this team is this season is. The thing I worry about, if it's even a small worry, is can they beat good teams? Right?
Yeah.
And can they, in critical moments, do the things that matter to win tough, tight games? And the reason it's important in June is because it's like practice. You know, it's the one thing about like baseball season, because it's such a long, grinding, you know, day after day affair that it's hard to feel urgent because there's still so many games left. But if you don't get the practice in and winning close games, when are you going to do it?
And
so, right, you don't want to wait till the end of the season to have to rush in and then win the pennant at the end or win the division at the end. You kind of want to give yourself the ability to relax your way into being good. And I think the challenge with this Yankee team is that some of these tight series that they played, the Dodgers were one. I'll give the Red Sox, even though the Red Sox aren't a great team this year, but it's still, in a sense, a rivalry.
Right. And a team hanging around in the wild card.
Right. And then you got the Orioles, who are the team they're going to be facing head off against in this division. They haven't dominated. Everywhere
right.
else, they've kind of dominated. Like, everything else, they do great. And then you get into these kind of tight, important series, and they don't play their best. Now, there was a lot of bad in this game early. But then there was a lot of good.
Yes.
Right? Because they could have easily won this game. And so I think when you look at the bad, it gets overshadowed by the good. The loss hurts you, but not terminally at all. You know what I mean?
It's
still so early. They still have the best record in baseball. I'm not worried about it, but I'd like to see them be able to win games like last night more consistently.
Right, and before we totally transition to the good of last night, because I'm with you, there was plenty of good to be excited about and all of that. The bad, though, I don't see this changing, okay? And we alluded to this with the Mets and them hanging around and talking about how many less sellers there will be at the deadline. I know that the Yankees today, they signed Tim Kelly, is that his name? Tim Hill, who has gotten nobody out with Chicago, get DFA'd. They've added him to the bullpen. Scott Efros is coming back. The bullpen, make no mistake, is a worry. Even if it's not the most gigantic worry, there's some guys you trust. Losing Johnny Loaisiga at the beginning of the year killed this team too. But Clay Holmes, as good as an effective, and maybe he's a top five closer in baseball, he doesn't put guys away. And when you have that happen last night, and I know it's a little different when you get the extra his runner on second, dinks and dunks will kill you and come back to bite you. And then you're set up and you get a bad throw from Trevino, who can't figure out how to throw anybody out. And a kill. I don't know how you could have any faith in that in big postseason game.
Well, I think the faith in Clay Holmes is if nobody's on base, you feel comfortable. But when someone's on base, and this is the extra inning problem that you talk about, you're not going to feel comfortable.
Right?
But come the postseason, it's not there.
But so, he puts people on base.
Well,
short
yes,
contact.
Yes, you're right. He lets people get on base. But I think it just tells you, if the Yankees are going to do anything at the trade deadline, they're going to target one of these available closers. They have to. And maybe he usurps Clay Holmes, and Clay Holmes becomes a setup. Who knows? Who knows how the situation will all work out? But they need someone who has an elite closing pitch or pitches so that when they have to get one out or two outs, you're not worried about it. Right, I need someone who's going to come in and throw eight pitches max and get two guys out. They don't have that right now.
Right. They need to be ruthless too, Tiki, at the deadline. And that doesn't mean trade everybody and gain everybody, but I mean, like you brought up, adding a closer. Clay Holmes may very well have an ERA under two and have all the great save numbers and everything, but we've seen little signs in some of these big spots. If they target a swing-and-miss guy that they think is better suited to put teams away in the ninth and not lead to these weird freaky losses late.
You mean you take his closer job away from him?
Yes, and just be honest with him. You're still one of our most, you're the eighth inning guy. You're one of the most reliable relievers we have. There's no more fooling around time. The Yankees need to be ruthless at the deadline, even if it means turning to some of their guys in that clubhouse and going.
So when you say ruthless, you mean being real with a guy like Clay Hall.
Being real. And I'll go a step further, and this should have been the case last night. Time to start being real with DJ LeMahieu as well. Because I know that he's still coming back from injury, but he does not look like the DJ LeMahieu of old.
It's been a month.
It's been a month. Oswaldo Cabrera is clearly the better option at third base. Yep. Clearly adds energy. Who cares if he's not George Brett? He obviously is a better third baseman for this Yankee team. And DJ LeMahieu, you know what? I'll take my chances with a veteran like that coming off the bench than Jamai Jones having to pinch hit for Trent Grisham last night. The whole team could feel deeper if we just acknowledge, you know what, DJ LeMahieu? You're our super utility bench guy. It's time that he has stopped being counted on as virtually an everyday starter. That furthers the band.
Yeah, I think the hard thing with the Yankees is that they want to give the guys who they believe in the benefit of the doubt. Like they do. And
right.
And it's too late to say it's early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
We're not even at the All-Star break yet, but it's not early. It's no longer an excuse. Well, he'll find his footing. Well, he'll find his stick. Well, he'll figure out his groove. It's too late to say it's too early in Major League Baseball right now. I know it feels like that sometimes because you do feel like DJ LeMahieu hasn't really been out here for a while because he was hurt for so long,
right,
coming back from that, whatever it was, fractured foot or bone bruise on his foot that ultimately, whatever it was, because they never really clarified it. But it does feel early, but it's not early.
Right.
Especially when you have series against teams like the Orioles that you have to win. I mean, this game, this rubber match that's happening in about 2 hours, it is critical,
yeah,
for this Yankee team. And I don't want to have to say that on June 20th, that you have a critical game against a division rival, but it is.
It is. The tiebreakers are going to add up. You have now lost 4 games to this Oriole team and you have only won 2.
Yeah.
But allow me to lead that into the good, Tiki.
Go ahead.
Okay. After watching last night and watching, obviously, the prior night, here is the obvious good. This Yankee team fights.
Yes.
This Yankee team is resilient. Down 4-1 last night, and give credit to a guy who, you know, at times we've all killed, and I have too. Giancarlo Stanton has the biggest hit of the game in that spot. Anthony Volpe ignites at the top of the order, doubles left and right. Ben Rice comes up. He should have driven in runs in extra innings, if not for an incredible catch,
yep,
out in right field. The Yankee team, though, despite all the flaws that we're seeing that could be potential hurdles, is absolutely resilient. And furthermore, for everything I laid out about Clay Holmes and some of my, you know, Yankee concerns, if Baltimore is truly going to be the Yankees' biggest competitor, as much as the Yankees are 2-4 versus them this year, this is also true. Baltimore officially has 3 starters out of their rotation done for the year.
Yeah.
And Craig Kimbrel, like you saw last night, who had to be signed in the offseason to be their closer, he is not to be trusted like Clay Holmes
they're
either.
They're flawed too.
Yes.
But
and that's the good for the
right,
Yankees.
But they find ways to win games. It's frustrating
it
as
is.
Hell.
It is.
Because they're not better than the Yankees.
They're not.
But they find ways to beat the Yankees. And I don't want to go here yet because the history of it is not, it's not long enough. But I'm starting to get like Astro vibes. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, don't give me Astro vibes, but you're right.
I don't mean that like this team is so good, they're going to win multiple championships, but
they're never dead.
They're never dead, and they don't fear the Yankees. There's so many teams that, like, oh my God, it's just Juan Soto. Oh, Lord, there's Aaron Judge coming behind. And this Volpe kid, Giancarlo Stanton's raking again. Oh my God, they're beat before they get into the box.
Man.
The Orioles don't fear the Yankees. And if they win tonight or this afternoon, and now they've taken 5 of the 7. It's like it feels like the Astros,
right? They peacock.
Like no matter
right
where we are, whether we're down in Baltimore or we're up here in the Bronx, we got you. We own you, and you know it, and we know it. We don't fear you. And I don't like having a team in the division have that kind of non fear of this juggernaut that has the best record in baseball. And the Yankees. That's what scares me more than anything.
No, it absolutely should worry you. And that's why today is, as we go ahead to potentially the ugly or the good, today coming up, and you can hear the game on the fan a little less than 2 hours from now, Luis Gil, who has not been the perfect Luis Gil we saw earlier in the season, the last 2 starts. He did have the big outing versus Baltimore earlier in the year, completely mowed them down. He needs to pitch big time today, and the Yankee lineup just needs to come through with timely hits because everything that happened last night, as painful as that was, the whole roller coaster it was, it's about winning series in baseball. And if you come out of all the nonsense that's happened over 2 days and take 2 of 3 from Baltimore and get this thing to 3-4 on the year, I will feel completely different, and I think the Yankees can breathe again until the next time they see Baltimore. I do have my concerns, but what makes me feel better is Baltimore should be looking at those same exact concerns. Bullpen. Some of their bench as well. And get your thoughts on the Yankees at 888 888- 808-1019 and get those calls started now. And let's go with Corey and Manalapan. Corey, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got to tell you, as a big Yankee fan, I got a lot of concerns. You watch these games.
Yep.
And I'm not really a big Holmes fan. And the guy, you're right. Tiki's right. When he gets on the mound, as soon as he comes in, I get nervous right away. That's one guy. The other people, like, listen, I've been saying this all year. I mean, it's Gleyber Torres at second base. He scares me. He makes a good play one time. He's always throwing off balance. He's just not the guy that maybe we thought he was. And the third thing is, you got to get a catcher.
Yeah. If
somebody, listen, not that Baltimore steals, but they could run around the bases. I mean, it's
four steals.
I don't know. They got to do a couple of things.
Now, thanks for the call, Corey. Look, Trevino, we talked about this with the Boston series, Tiki. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a major league record or something we hadn't seen since 1940.
Nine in a game?
Yeah, last night, those four were pretty significant as well. And airmailing that ball into the air, whatever is going on. Trevino, as much as he's hit more than Austin Wells this year, the reason you play him is his superb defense. The superb defense is not there. And I can't believe we're sitting here on June 20th and the idea that, you know, you don't need an all-star at every position. Catcher is an issue for the Yankees.
Yeah.
You cannot have teams just think they could run wild, especially in spots where if Clay Holmes is a slow deliverer, you saw him with the Stroman start as well. It's a real problem, and Baltimore thought they had freewheeling all over the base.
Yeah, with Stroman, it was more probably Stroman. You know what
I mean? But the combination.
Right. And so, but it does become an issue. And, it, you know, it's one of those, like, what's more important for this Yankee team right now? Is it having another decent bat? Because Trevino is that, right? Or is it lockdown, unbelievable defense? Kind of like what Francisco Alvarez brings for the Mets.
Yeah.
What's more important? Now, the Mets are fortunate because he does both. But what's more important? If you had to choose, I think it's the latter. I mean, the bat is important, obviously.
They should have enough offense everywhere else.
But if you had to pick, I'm looking at the Yankees roster, I'm saying, you know what? We're pretty good.
Yeah.
We can score runs.
Yes. Right?
Can we stop the other team from getting in position to score runs?
Especially
that's what it comes down to.
Especially if this is the Stanton we're getting. I trust Stanton. I trust Verdugo.
I trust his health. I trust Stanton's health.
Well, not looking like a chiseled Under Armour mannequin is health.
Right. He looks like an athlete as opposed to an Adonis.
Last night was just an unbelievable swing for him, too. And you could tell that wasn't the typical Stanton just jacked out of his mind laser. That was a really good baseball athletic swing and crushed it. Woody in Plattsburgh. Woody, what's up?
Woody.
What's
happening, Woody?
Woody, what do you know? Sorry, Woody. Try us back. Frank in East Islip. Frank, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on today?
We're good, man.
What's up, Frank?
Hey, Sean, we got one thing in common. We're Yankee fans. I'm a diehard Jet fan, Islander fan. So at least we got one thing in common.
All right. And we're South Shore Long Islanders, too, Frank. I like that.
Yes, we are. And, Jiggy, I watched you, but I was watching more Curtis Martin in my heyday than and I was watching you, but I did follow you quite a bit also.
My contemporary. Love that dude.
Yeah, great running back also. Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
You know who the swing and miss guy is, right?
Well, you're going to bring up Mason Miller from the A's, but here's the problem. I would love Mason Miller, 25 years old. If you remember him, any Yankee fan, he killed us when Oakland came here. He throws lights out stuff. He's 25. Why would Oakland get rid of him? By the way, he's only in the pen now because he's still coming back from injury from a year ago. They're trying to limit his innings. That is a guy they view as a future starter.
Right.
Would that mean like I have to start with Dominguez, right? That would be have to be the trade.
I'm not willing to do Dominguez. That. I'm not willing to.
No, not Dominguez?
No, because he's your future.
And you can't trade Dominguez, Frank. Thanks for the call. The moment you trade Dominguez, first of all, I think it would be crazy anyway. You lose any tiny, tiny, tiny bit of leverage you're going to have with Juan Soto because then you really, really have no choice on that bargaining table with Scott
Ford. But, I mean, the one thing about that particular statement you just made, meaning Dominguez gives you a hedge, so to speak, for Juan Soto. Forget the hedge. Whatever it takes to keep Juan Soto, you have to keep Juan Soto.
You're right.
Because there isn't a replacement player in Major League Baseball that fits exactly what he does, right? Or is the right age so that he carries you through the Judge era and beyond. Like, there's just,
you're right.
There is no one else like that. So you're right. You need the hedge just in case Juan Soto and Scott Boras decide to take their talents to wherever, South Beach. I doubt that.
San Francisco,
Queens. Right, wherever they go.
Even if it's a 2% chance,
right.
I want myself covered.
You need it, but it can't be your reasoning. Right? Your reasoning needs to be Juan Soto is going to be Yankee no matter what it takes. Because he is the unicorn. He is unique like that.
And Dominguez, though, paired with a Soto, paired with a Judge, you probably don't sign Verdugo anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm being a total pig here. I'm thinking about the next 10 years and not just winning one championship here. I want to get one under our belt with Juan Soto.
Well, isn't that what you wanted? Like, so I think sometimes we get caught in just thinking about one.
Right.
We start thinking about this one. Now, in sports like the NFL, where you're so dependent upon like two or three guys, for instance, you lose your quarterback, guess what? You're probably not winning a Super Bowl. You lose your all-pro wide receiver or left tackle or cornerback, whatever. You're probably not winning a Super Bowl. In baseball, it's different. And so if you can build a team that has staying power, you can win a couple in a half a decade. And so the mindset has to be different in constructing a roster in baseball than it is in football. In football, you just want to get one.
Of course.
Just get it.
Well, the shelf life of players.
Right. Whatever happens the next year, it is what it is. But let's just get this one. Look, Los Angeles Rams are the perfect example. We're selling out. We're going to win a championship. After that, we're going to stink and probably stay afloat. And maybe in a couple years, we'll figure out how to start competing again. Baseball isn't that way, right? If you just build to win a championship, you're going to end up being like the Miami Marlins. You're going to be really good. And then you're going to be terrible.
Terrible. And then maybe really good again 6 years later, and that's
right.
It. No,
right.
you have to
Nobody wants that roller coaster in baseball.
All right, we come back. A very, very special Evan and Tiki and WFAN announcement you won't want to miss. Plus, I have a major gripe with a couple of the personalities I've heard here on WFAN. I got to push back a little bit on the idea of the retaliation last night from the New York Yankees and hitting Gunnar Henderson. We'll see Tiki's thoughts on that as well.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Sean Warner's with Tiki, taking it up until 3:25. Yankee pregame comes your way. Rubber game, Yankees and Orioles. Tiki's got a special event tonight. We're going to get to in a second. But first, really, really big, big Evan and Tiki and WFAN announcement. This Monday, you are not going to want to miss being tuned into WFAN. In the 5 o'clock hour, right here on Evan and Tiki, the great Howie Rose will be with us in studio.
Howie Rose
in studio. Following our show, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., Howie Rose will be hosting from 6:30 to 8 right here on WFAN, looking back at incredible memories. He will have some incredible guests as well. Howie Rose is going to be celebrating 50 years in New York sports media.
Wow, that's amazing.
An incredible anniversary from Howie Rose. 50 years in New York sports media. So in honor of that, he will join us. The full 5 o'clock hour, hang out with us in studio. Get ready for his show, 6:30 to 8. Way more than just Matteau. We will have a blast with Howie Rose. I'm looking forward to it. One of the legends in this business. Somebody that obviously I grew up, as many of us my age did, idolizing if you loved sports broadcasting. The great Howie Rose. We get to have a fun late afternoon and then evening where he takes over himself taking your calls. And again, incredible guests, incredible memories, trips down memory lane. Howie Rose celebrates 50 years in New York sports media this Monday on the Fan.
I got to tell you, it's great with when guys like Howie come and tell their stories because they feel it and hear it and experience it different than we did.
Right.
Because they're calling it. And so you're privy to things behind the scenes or leading up to the game that most people aren't. And so then when you see something happen on the field or the court or the ice or wherever it's taking place, it has a different context to it.
Yeah.
Right? It's funny because we had Bob Papa on talking about the Giant 100, which we'll get to here in a second, Sean. Bob has, he saw my whole career, Bob. You know what I mean? But he saw it from a different perspective than I did. And so his interpretation is different, although the same. And I think Howie's going to be exactly that for us on Mondays. And obviously, it's leading into the next couple of days, which are the Subway Series, which we will also have a special event at because we're doing our show from the Cadillac Club out at Citi Field, which is awesome. Now, I've heard a lot about the Cadillac Club. I've never been there.
I am
really looking forward to it. So next week is a lot. Which is awesome.
What a big week. So, obviously, Met fans who've loved Howie Rose, Yankee fans alike, 50 years celebrating New York sports media with Howie Rose in studio, 5 o'clock hour Monday. Then he will host 6:30 to 8. And then, like Tiki said, Tuesday and Wednesday will be out at Citi Field. A monster week of programming coming up on The Fan. More on the event Tiki will be at the theater in Madison Square Garden in a couple minutes. But first, your calls at 888-808-1019. Eric in Bayville. Eric, what's up? You're on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose. He's a great man. He was a regular at the restaurant I worked at for years, and he's a better human being. Yeah, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but he's a better human being than he is an announcer, and his wife is an amazing person. And that voice is no shtick. When he asks for the salt, he's like, can you please hand me the salt?
That's great.
I love it.
He doesn't put it on.
Hey, he's so authentic, this is man.
Yeah, absolutely. This is my third game at Yankee Stadium tonight in a row. I went to Fenway by myself on Saturday. I'm on a pilgrimage this summer.
All right.
So, I love it, Eric.
Sean, you are committed, dude.
Sean,
what do you got?
I'm committed. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you know what the sniff test is?
Does a team pass the sniff test?
Not a team. I'm talking about, you know what a sniff test is.
Yes, I've heard the phrase. Are you leading me down a dark road here, Eric?
I know. Is this like what my dog does in the morning?
Don't pass it, homeboy.
Again.
You don't pass the sniff test.
Eric, the problem with the sniff test with Clay Holmes, because I don't want to be a full Clay Holmes hater, is there are not a lot of dominant closers. And you saw it last night with Craig Kimbrell as well.
Yeah.
I believe that Clay Holmes is a problem. Or at the very least, he is going to be completely nerve-wracking for every big Yankee playoff game. The problem is, and you heard the caller call about Mason Miller, there is not an easy solution to supplanting him. But if you do find that, then you need to have that uncomfortable conversation. And Clay Holmes can't just be handed the closer job despite his stats.
But Clay Holmes, the sniff test part two, can't come out to country music in the Bronx.
I won't stand for that.
Why
Eric, I won't stand for that. I love Chris Stapleton.
All right, Eric.
You're out of your mind, bro. We won the Civil War, so we don't have to listen to that nonsense.
You know what? Come join me in August in the MetLife parking lot for Kenny Chesney, and you come tell me it's not a great time.
Absolutely not. I got a better thing to do. I'm going to go to the library that day and learn how we won the Civil War. So we don't
I'm not even
going to
let you make your Boone point. You know what? Go serve Howie Rose's salt. It's great. Hating on country music.
Some country music is pretty damn good.
Of course it is. Zach Brown's playing with Chesney at
Zach
the end of August.
Zach Brown's my dude.
Come on. It'll be inflatable pools in the parking lot. It'll be an all-day party, and I'll be there.
Right.
And we'll love Clay Holmes for it. Damn it. Kevin and Yonkers. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Tiki, I'm a big fan, big Giants fan.
Thank you, dude.
So I wanted to talk about yesterday and Aaron Boone. I feel like, you know, taking out Cole was early because of the injury. I get if he brought him out there, he could have at least kept him in for another batter. Yeah. He only threw one pitch to that person. And then I felt like if Aaron Judge wasn't available to pinch hit, then there was no point of pinch hitting Jermaine Jones for
Right.
The way it kept the lefty in, right, who was already struggling. And then you're kind of forcing. If they brought in another arm, it would have been a righty anyway. So,
Kevin, you bring up a good point. I have laid off Aaron Boone this year. There have been things in past years I haven't necessarily loved. I didn't think last night was great for Aaron Boone, Tiki, on a couple instances.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Gerrit Cole thing is lesser a problem for me than the Jermaine Jones thing. Look, Gerrit Cole, we all thought, would throw 75, 80 pitches because that would be the natural progression from where he last threw in AAA.
Right.
But there's different adrenaline adversity. It's a major league game.
It feels like he had a bad game, but he didn't.
He didn't.
He gave up two doubles to start the game,
right,
and then he kind of settled down.
Right, and he gives up the hit when he comes back out there in the fifth. And ultimately, yes. Do I think that he would not have had what happened to Ron Marinaccio? Sure. But I'm thinking bigger picture with Gerrit Cole. He got his feet wet in his first game. The bullpen's got to figure out a way to navigate that from there.
Right, and that is on Boone as well.
Now, that being said, the pinch-hitting Trent Grisham for Jermaine Jones in that spot. Jermaine Jones is on this team. He's basically a 4A player because I think that you can't put this in a program. He's Giancarlo Stanton's pinch runner. That is the reason he's on this team late in games
and
when
way,
Stanton can't run to be there.
Yeah, that's valuable.
It is valuable.
At certain points.
Especially, you see the way teams steal bases?
Yep.
I have no problem with him as a pinch runner.
Give me a guy who, if you hit one down the line and he's on first, he might be able to score. Right? That's what he's there for. And when else Stanton's not, maybe he ends up on third. Probably not.
But I have a major issue when it comes to pinch hitting. You want to play the lefty-righty game, whatever.
I hate that, too.
Trent Grisham is clearly not Aaron Judge by any means, and he's a better defensive center fielder than anything. But we saw him when we were chanting, "We want Soto," drill that home run a couple Sunday nights ago. I don't think that Jermaine Jones provides that much of an offensive upgrade in that spot that's where you go and pinch hit for Trent Grisham. Why not that be Austin Wells or Oswaldo Cabrera in that spot who pinch ran later in the game?
See, the challenge is that he just hasn't played enough.
Sure.
Right? And so the chances of him being in any kind of rhythm is nil. You know what
you're
I mean?
Right.
And so maybe he gets lucky, but if you're trying to win a game, and I do believe that the Yankees understand the import of this series.
Oh, last night felt like a playoff game.
We talk about it, obviously, as fans and as WFAN, and we talk about it, but sometimes that doesn't really translate to what's happening in the clubhouse or from manager to players, etc. I do believe that they felt the urgency of that last night. And it was just a bad decision because you can't let luck be your strategy. Hey, why was that the right move? Because he might get lucky and run into one. That's not gonna work. That doesn't work, especially against good teams. You playing the Athletics? Maybe. Maybe that works. It's not working against the second best team in the division and maybe one of the best teams in baseball.
You just can't senselessly pinch hit for somebody for not a major upgrade. I'm sorry. Right. I found that to be a troubling move by Boone. Let's go to Patrick and Brewster. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, I'm calling from the other side. I'm an O's fan.
Go ahead.
Last night would have been a disastrous loss for the Orioles, and they're very fortunate that they escaped it because with only playing 13 games against each other, we're facing the best pitcher in baseball today. And I'm guessing the Yankees will probably win, but I just wanted to say the Orioles and their fans are probably more relieved than anything that we were able to win that game.
Otherwise, you'd be staring at a sweep, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And even though you took 3 of 4 back in April and May, this is where the season's starting to get chunky.
Yeah,
right?
They got swept at Yankee Stadium and blew a 4-1 lead.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you're in panic
right.
mode.
And now going into the last series or last few series of the of after the All-Star break, it becomes, well, now the Yankees own us. Right?
Yeah,
they just swept us. In one of those games, we had a lead we should have won. So it's such an emotional thing. But the thing that I said earlier, you know, back in the first segment, if you missed it, go rewind, is that this Orioles team is starting to get Astro-ish to me. It's starting to feel like...
We don't need to hear that.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to even say it.
We can't hear Astro-ish.
They just
now.
Win games against the Yankees.
They do.
It's like they're not afraid. I'm not saying they're the Astros. I don't even misconstrue that. They're not World Series viable yet. I mean, they got wiped out of the postseason last year after having a great season.
And outside of Corbin Burns, they got major starting pitching.
100%. You mentioned 3 of the guys are out, like done,
right.
Not coming back. You know, let's hope they get back for the... Right. That's not happening. But they don't fear the Yankees, and they continually beat the Yankees, and that's a bad thing.
That's why today, coming up, an hour and a half, Yankees-O's, Luis Hill, need a big effort. Get out of here. Just win a series if you're the Yankees. Now, also tonight, following Yankee baseball, some of you listening might be heading to the theater at MSG Giants 100, a night with Giants legends. Tiki, you will be there later tonight.
I mean,
this is giddy for Giants.
I got a Giants shirt on today. I'm rocking it. I'm rocking Giant gear like I'm a fan right now. Lots of legends are going to be there. Hall of Famers as well. LT, Michael Strahan's going to be there. Justin Tuck, Harry Carson, Coach Parcells, Coach Coughlin. It's going to be a ton of fun. But Sean, I have a question for you because I got my itinerary a couple days ago from the Giants. And I'm like, what am I even doing here? Remember I said that with Bob?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell am I even doing at this event? And we're hanging out, we're meeting people, we are going to listen to Bill Parcells and Coach Coughlin with Bob Papa doing an onstage interview, which will be awesome. But then there's a panel with me, Strahan, Jason Sehorn, and Amani Toomer.
Wow.
The topic of the panel is the Giants from the late 90s to the mid-2000s. So basically pre-Super Bowl.
My wheelhouse.
Right. And so as I was thinking about how this conversation is going to go, because again, I'm not preparing for this. I'm just kind of using my memories. I think about what were the most important moments of that era? Basically 1995 to 2005.
Yeah.
Like, what were the biggest, most important moments of that era? There's a couple that come right off the dome that are easy. Obviously, 41 Donut,
yep.
The NFC Championship game, the Eagles rivalry. There's a few games in there. Seahorn's tip interception is one of those against the Eagles.
What a play.
Right? Ron Dixon had the kickoff return in that game as well. If you need, remind me, as a fan, what I need to be thinking about.
All right, how about 1998, Kent Graham to Amani Toomer, ending the Denver Broncos undefeated season?
Yes.
All right, unbelievable. We'll never forget that moment. Also, the Giants did that to Denver again with Eli to Amani Toomer. I think it was 05, pre-Super Bowl.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, it was a very similar vibe. Now, Denver wasn't undefeated, but it was a crazy comeback.
They weren't great that year.
That was when, for you guys on that 05 team, you started to figure out, oh, wow, this team is going to be pretty good. Okay, that was a big moment. Also, this is pre-Super Bowl, right at the end there, 06 for me, because you know how much I hate the Eagles?
Yeah.
Plaxico 06, that comeback, the win in overtime versus Philly, incredible. Brian Dawkins.
Dawkins.
In 2002, having Shockey basically posterize him on that Saturday.
Basically, what he said, because I know, and I think I don't know if I told you this, because earlier that season, in the first game that season,
yeah.
Brian Dawkins destroyed Ike.
Yep.
Like, literally broke his sternum.
I've changed his career, in my opinion.
Absolutely changed his career. And Ike got up and he got off the field. He didn't play for, I don't know, seven, eight weeks, whatever it was. So at the end of the season, when Shockey catches that touchdown over Dawkins, who was in perfect position, but Shockey just bitched it away from him, he was screaming in his face. He said, "That's for Ike."
Oh, so good.
It was so dope.
But that was a part of it. Like, those teams, the Shockey, like, you guys, Ike, to me, look, I'm 37 years old. We obviously are going to cherish the two giant Super Bowls that happened after. But that era set the whole foundation for that, including, by the way, the 2000 season doesn't just come down to the Eagles and Vikings games. Seahorn returning an onside kick versus the Jaguars was unbelievable that year to kind of cement everything. His pants falling down, leading to that loss, which eventually led to the chips in the middle of the field. Seahorn's in the middle of a lot of these moments, right. As well
as
Amani.
He doesn't get mentioned a lot in the history, but he's part of a ton of it.
And then, of course, you know, I know you're going to be humble here. How many of the moments you had? The Wellington Mara game versus Washington. The Raiders.
Also 105.
The Raiders New Year's game. That Saturday versus Kansas City.
All of those,
where you went
all of those are 05, by the way.
Yeah. Like, that was just, that's your year, in my opinion. Like, the unbelievable Tiki Barber year. How many times we left the stadium chanting your name and everything that went into it. Those are just so many fun memories. But you go down, 97, Gus Frerotte bangs his head into the wall in a 7-7 tie that ends up being really important that the Giants didn't lose that game for you guys to make the playoffs as well.
That's right. That was the Minnesota Viking playoff year. But that was the year, I think Coach Fossil won Coach of the Year that year.
Very similar to the Daboll year 2 years ago, 9-7-1.
Right.
Well, I guess they were, 9-6-1 that year. You know,
yeah, we're 9-6-1. We didn't lose in the division.
Right.
We only had a tie in the division. That was the game you were talking about, but the Washington game. And then we go to the playoffs against Minnesota. We're beating them until we start fighting each other in the tunnel at halftime. And they come back in this miraculous come-from-behind victory, which was demoralizing. It was demoralizing. And Ernie Accorsi, I know he was like, all right, we got to get Jim Fossil out of here. He was on the hot seat from that point on.
That's unbelievable.
Until he wasn't the coach of the New York Giants, Coach Fossil was on the hot seat from year one until year six or whatever it was.
So Bob Papa was on with us last week. So obviously there's going to be, I think, the start, right? Coughlin and Parcells will be on stage together.
Coughlin and Parcells will be on stage together. That'll be the first, I think, whatever, panel.
Right.
Discuss.
Trips down memory road. So you will be with Amani, Seahorn, and who else?
Strahan.
And Strahan talking about the late 90s, early 2000s.
Through the mid-2000s.
So, look.
And then I think there probably is going to be one, like the second Super Bowl era.
Right.
Right.
Victor Cruz and Nixon
2006 through 11 or 12.
So if you are going to the event tonight, it's going to be a packed house theater at MSG. Obviously, you're going to look forward to a lot of those things. If you're not, or even if you are and you want to contribute any of those moments, Tiki would love to hear because he's got to sit down. We got to jog his memory from what we saw from the couch in that era. Don't be afraid to call up on 888-808-1019. Do a little Giants as well as we continue to take your calls on the Yankees and Orioles. Damn, now
anyone doing the doubleheader?
Now,
Yankees, and then you could go there.
I guarantee there are people doing both at the Yankee game heading over to the theater.
Right, because the Yankees will be done. Game starts at, what, 4?
4? That could be a 6:40, a head right over on the train.
Right.
Oh, that's a fun night.
Right into MSG, right into the
Is there somebody you haven't seen in a while that you're like really can't wait to see tonight?
The last time I saw Seahorn, he ran a marathon. Or was it a half marathon? No, it was a full marathon because he crushed it. I couldn't believe it. I haven't seen Seahorn in about 4 or 5 years or so.
That's cool.
Right. So a lot of these guys Mark Bavaro I haven't seen in ages because he's never around here in New Jersey. But most of the guys are going to be there. Yeah. I've seen Tuck, see Tyree, LT I haven't seen in a couple of years. Strahan I see pretty regularly. Phil McConkey, he'll be there. So
LT is going to be laugh your ass off today. Absolutely.
Right. Please don't pull out your cell phone.
Robert in Woodbridge. Robert, what's up? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Robert?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing, guys?
We're good. What's up, dude?
So I wanted to talk. You guys briefly mentioned with the retaliation thing with the Orioles. I just wanted to say, listen, you want to quote-unquote retaliate, do so by putting up crooked numbers. Do so by scoring with bases loaded, with no outs, with one out, win without Judge. That's how you retaliate, to show them that we're the New York Yankees, and we're not to be trifled with. That's how you retaliate, not by throwing it at Gunner, at Adley, at Mateo, any of them.
You know, Robert, you're walking. I was gonna do this at the top of the hour, but you're walking me right into it because you really hit my buttons. Right. You knew where to press it here. Didn't the Yankees do both last night?
Yeah.
Because guess what happened?
Right. They had no business getting back into the game. Right. Obviously they did. Giancarlo Stanton could have been the hero if they would have won it.
You know me. When I get inside my own head with a sports take, I just let it cycle up like a blender.
Go ahead.
I've heard a lot of this. Chris McMonagle, I love him. I was arguing with him on Twitter last night, and then I saw he had plenty of takes on this during his show on the overnight. Check out him on the Odyssey Rewind. I heard Sal and BT kind of going back and forth with some of this. The idea that anybody watched that Yankee game last night and their takeaway was, well, they hit Gunnar Henderson, you got your retaliation, and guess what? He came back to score, and the Yankees would have had a walk-off win if he didn't. And that's the reason the Yankees lost last night. Drives me insane. It is simply not true.
It's not true.
It's not true.
But it is the problem with hitting guys.
Okay.
Especially if it's retaliation. Now, this is why we know it was retaliation, because those were no doubt getting hit.
No doubt.
Aaron Judge, it probably wasn't intentional.
Right.
It was just thrown inside. Even Glaber, it was probably not intentional. They were just throwing inside. The Yankees were intentional, and one of them led to a run. That's what's frustrating.
Okay. But the Yankees waited until they were down 4-1. And newsflash, for anybody watching that game last night, you are lying to yourself if at 4-1 when they hit Gunnar Henderson, you thought the Yankees were coming back all.
No, especially without Judge.
The life felt dead. They had no Judge. So what we talked about yesterday, when you picked your spot to do it, they did it. What happened the moment they plunked Gunnar Henderson? Even when he came around to score, you saw the energy. The Yankees felt like a little justified in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Then next thing you know, Stanton comes up the next inning. The big at-bat. The building got loud. There was energy. The fans were into it. Plunking Gunnar Henderson, while that might have cost him a walk-off, I don't believe they have that kind of rally to even tie the game unless he's plunked.
Right, it's a good point.
And furthermore, Tiki, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I was with you on this yesterday. I was not in favor of starting the game by plunking somebody, Gerrit Cole's first start and everything. Right. I want to lay that on the cards.
Right. But given what he did, you should have just hit him.
Well, that's exactly it. The game starts.
I know what you're saying.
Gunnar Henderson doubles.
Right.
And then scores. Why does he score? On a ground rule double. If he was on first base, now you want to argue, oh, he might have stole the base. If he's on first base, he is not allowed to score on a ground rule double. The Yankees are never down 1-0 had they started the game by plunking Gunnar Henderson instead of doubling.
Right, there's your walk-off win as well.
Right, there's your walk-off win. So don't you can't have it both ways.
I hear what you're saying. But I didn't think it wasn't the right moment for Gerrit Cole, who hasn't pitched at all. But you know what? You know, it's funny because now I'm rethinking it. And now I'm re-questioning my Gerrit Cole thought. Because Gerrit Cole is such a detail-oriented. I mean, hell, when the national anthem is a couple seconds long, he gets out of whack.
Right.
So he's so detail-oriented. So the thing I worried most was asking him or compelling him to go hit somebody right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because it just throws him out of his rhythm.
I agree with that.
It's
there was a fan that jumped on the field yesterday, threw him out of his rhythm. Right. Remember,
No, I'm serious. I wonder now if before he even gets in his rhythm, just hit Gunnar. Just hit him and then start.
Then your start starts after that.
Right. Don't think about anything. Don't be trying to get anybody. Just hit him.
And he wasn't going to throw a punch if the bench is cleared there and got hurt.
Just hit him and then get back into your process.
And if that whole inning plays out exactly the same, and it's asking a lot for a game to play out exactly the same. The Orioles, if that ground rule double happens, don't score there. And then you're not down 1-0. So all I'm saying is if you want to pick and choose that run later on, well, then come back to the first inning. Don't tell me that retaliating is why retaliating juiced that building and juiced the Yankees into a comeback. Look, I think that's probably all said and done. There probably won't be anything that happens here. But I like that the Yankees did show edge last night, and I don't believe that that's the reason they lost. They lost, frankly, because Aaron Judge was hurt to begin with the night before, and he wasn't in the lineup. Which, oh, by the way, the Orioles still didn't get the best Aaron Judge. That was when he was still struggling when they saw him earlier in the year. He got hurt night one. We still haven't played the Baltimore Orioles with a fully healthy Aaron Judge, and the Yankees are 2-4. So let's hold up there. All right, we're going to come back, continue to take your calls. Yankees-Orioles, as we plow ahead to the pregame at 3:25 and go down some giant memories ahead of tonight's big event at the theater at MSG. And remember, Monday, we're celebrating 50 years of New York sports media with Howie Rose in studio with us at 5, and Howie will host on The Fan from 6:30 to 8 with some incredible guests and some incredible memories.
Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York.
and Odyssey Sports Station.
That's right.
Right there.
Country town for Clay Holmes. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. A few more minutes till 3:25. Yankee pregame comes up your way. 4 o'clock, Yankees and Orioles, the rubber game. And, of course, not a must-win, but more like a gotta-have-it.
Yeah, for the Yankees. It's a gotta-have-it. You're right. It's not must-win, but it is got. It's too early to be must-win, but
course.
It is gotta-have-it.
It's not a can't-lose either.
You talk about country music. You realize the last two country songs that have hit the top of the country charts have been by black artists?
You talking about Shaboozy?
Shaboozy is currently number one, but
love
before
Shaboozy.
That, it was Beyonce.
And the Post Malone one, right?
And the Post Malone one. But it's there's a different type of artist taking over country music.
I like it.
Have you heard the Shaboozy?
Dude, first of all, it's my dad's favorite album, favorite artist.
Unbelievable.
Now. Yeah.
He's like Nigerian or something.
Yeah. We're getting tipsy.
He's got these dreads. Sorry,
yeah,
tipsy.
Great.
It's amazing.
It's a good summer drinking song,
it is
too.
That's exactly why it came at the perfect time.
Totally.
Because it doesn't matter if you like country, Eric, or not.
Right.
If you go listen to this song, you will like country.
That is definitely the song of the summer.
100%.
We're all going to be Shaboozy people at the Grammys at the end of the year. No doubt about it.
He's definitely winning.
Now, would anybody have a problem if Clay Holmes came out to some Shaboozy?
No.
Would that get the crowd rocking?
I think that's Eric's issue. Is it the song is just not, it's not like hip enough. There it is.
Yeah, this is Shaboozy.
This song is great.
It's great. I just want to like tap along, dance on the beach.
Everybody come along.
Yeah, everybody sings it at my bar.
Right. So
you're right. If Clay Holmes came out to this, the crowd would be clapping and going nuts.
They'd be going to buy more beers. I'm serious. All right, let's go get tipsy, Clay.
Well, now it's a Thursday, and I really want to drink when I get out here. Like, hardcore.
Don't want some Shaboozy?
Yeah. Instead, I'm going to meet a baby after this, but I really would rather drink. My cousin's. All right, 888-808-1019. Everybody at Yankee Stadium getting tipsy today. All right. Let's go back to Woody in Plattsburgh. Woody, what's up? You're on The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Woody?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. My apologies. I'm at the gym on the track walking. Someone had said something to me. I took my earbud out of my ear, and I think when I put it back in, I muted the call. So
that's
my apologies.
Right,
oh, it's all good.
Everybody
dude.
At the gym getting tipsy, man.
So yeah. But the place is a ghost town, I assure you. Okay, a couple things. Tiki, kudos to you.
Thank you.
Much like that loser Evan, I keep receipts. We were on the same page when you said it, and I had already been thinking it, but the Yamamoto durability, question.
Yeah,
has
I said that way back when he was posted.
I was listening, and right. I was shaking, nodding my head as you were saying it. I'm like, yo, Kiki's right. Smaller guy, bigger ball, greater torque, injuries coming.
No doubt about it.
Okay, cool.
Unfortunately for him.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
But
totally
not our guy, so we don't really care. Other than being right about it, right?
Yeah, no, he's definitely not our guy, so I could care less. But I just thought I'd give you some flowers for that. Shawnee.
What do you got, Woody?
Sean, as much as it kills me, it's nice to have regular Sean back. The press and wanting to jump off a cliff, Sean. You know, I thought I would get more enjoyment out of it, but I didn't. Like, for a day, I was, like, happy. I'm like, oh, God, this is horrible. So welcome back, and of course,
thank you.
And of course, you're welcome on the Yankee train, Sean. I'll get you a good seat. No
you know
worries.
What, Woody? Woody, I'm going to address that right now. I'm glad you'll have me on the Yankee train, and unlike some people at work on the show, I'm not going to pretend that I'm leading the train. Loogie with the Mets. But what else you got, Woody?
Two things. One, I know he looks washed, but listen. DJ has about 53 at bats. Can we at least get him to 100 at bats before we take him off to, right. to the mortuary?
You're right. You're right. It's just frustrating.
Come on. Of course it's frustrating.
No, but Woody,
every second too.
Woody, wouldn't you agree, though? It's compounded by the fact that we saw Cabrera finally start to really come into his own and play a good third base and give you a spunky bat. I think that's just the idea that you feel like you have a better option on the roster to do that every day.
Agreed. And speaking of on the roster, and not to jump off that topic, but I just wanted to get to this before I got maybe zapped. Listen, I think the answer to the bullpen is right on the team. And listen, this is coming. Everybody can say it's not happening. Listen, Eels going to the bullpen, bro. I'm telling you, that's a fact. They can deny it all they want. For anyone that thinks he's going to be starting a game in October after Cole, you're delusional. It's not happening. He's going to the pen. Listen, bro, it's happening. Just be a man and suck it up.
I mean, it might be the best thing, given their non-stated concern about the innings. However, if he keeps pitching this way through the All-Star break and comes out of the second half of the season and is just dominant and right there for this, you can't do it. You just can't.
So I'm with you. I actually agree with both of you guys, and I hate having it like disagreement. I think what Woody says makes a ton of sense, because when we think about, like the guy brought up Mason Miller, the way you dominate and end a game and have the fear of God, Luis Gil striking people out at the end of a game makes a ton of sense. And the Yankees do have depth in the rotation where right now, why wouldn't you feel confident in Carlos Rodon and Marcus Stroman? And we'll see when Clark Schmidt comes back and, of course, Nestor Cortes to start games. However, to that point, I know that Gil hasn't. Think about this. The worst that we've seen of Gil has still been pretty damn good the last two starts. If this is who Luis Gil is and he keeps cooking along and they limit his innings to five innings, something like that, how could you not start him right after Gerrit Cole?
Right. I think
how could you go from starting the All-Star game to you not going to start a playoff game?
Right. You can't.
You can't.
Right. And so it's just the right thing to do by him.
Yeah. And I also think that Cashman lived through the Jabba Chamberlain era, which feels like, that should be talked about at the Giants 100 because it was right around that time where they kind of jerked him around and he made the most sense to be at that back end with Mariano Rivera. But by the time you pull him around, screwing him up from the bullpen back and forth only hindered his career. So maybe Cashman learns a lesson from that, and that's why you don't see Gil. Allen in Freehold. Allen, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Before I start, Tiki,
what's up?
Your name's on this show. Please tell Evan no more stupid songs. He jinxed the Mets last night.
Yeah, he totally did.
Greg Corbin used to call it Robertsitis. He just brings bad juju.
That's funny.
But I talked to you guys. I talked to you guys when you were in Point when Belmar. And I told you, Tika, I had season tickets for 42 years.
Yep.
Two games come to my mind for you.
All
opening day, 1999, was August 31st, and it was a day like today. And Ron Dane was a rookie. I actually bought a T-shirt in the parking lot, Thunder and Lightning.
Oh, that was 2000. Yeah, that was the 2000.
Right, 2000. Right. And you were playing the Cardinals at home. And just at kickoff, everybody was lining up. Lightning hit the stadium, and everybody ran off the field. Right. We ran out of the stands.
I'll never forget it.
There's that image of Ron Dixon being scared out of his mind out there on special teams and immediately booking it for the tunnel.
That's a great one, Alan.
But Sean, you talked about 98 beating the Broncos.
Yeah.
The Broncos came in the week after the Wellington game in 05.
That was the
other one. They were either 9-0 or 10-0. And it was a 4:00 start national game.
And Eli found and Toomer again.
You were losing 23-16. Eli marched down the field. And with about 10 seconds left from like the 8-yard line, Eli backed up about 10 yards. Got Toomer on a crossing pattern.
Right. Allie, Tiki forgot about that one.
It's funny. That's an awesome one, but I forgot about it.
Until Sean
brought it up, and now Allen re-brings it up. That was a great year.
Think about it.
That year was unbelievable.
That's Toomer essentially in two different eras having the same moment with different quarterbacks.
Right.
Which is versus the same team. It was incredible. That was such a – it might have been a Jake Plummer Bronco team, but either way, it was awesome.
I'm just going to look to see who the quarterback was because I now remember that game.
I think it was Jake Plummer versus Eli, and the Broncos were really good. Now, I didn't remember it being that late in the year that it was the week after. I'm going to trust Allen on that. Yeah. I thought it was earlier in the year. But that was the moment where I think most Giant fans for us were like, oh, wow, Eli really does have something here, and this team's good.
Yeah, that was – so the Broncos game was week 7. So it was the week before.
Okay.
Week before the Washington game. And,
okay.
And why I should remember this is because I remember at the time saying – This was the last game Wellington saw.
Was that Broncos
game? That Broncos game.
Wow.
And it's a game that, the Giants would usually lose. But we found a way to win the last game that he saw.
Incredible.
Right. And it was Toom, and it was Eli. And
you got to bring that game up today.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's one of my favorite games.
Without a doubt.
What a game. David in Michigan. David, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I wish I could be at the Giants thing tonight. Dickie, thank you so much for all your years of great play,
classy play. Thank you, man.
And all of that. I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm the guy that you BS checked in real time when I told you I went to the 91 Super Bowl with Andy Rooney.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, we found it. We found it, though.
We did find that. I remember that.
And, yeah, I couldn't believe you guys real-time checked me in that. And I passed.
Yes, you did. You did. You have cred forever now.
So I want to tell you something. In terms of I have an unusual, like, favorite Giant who I don't know if he's going to be there tonight. And I'm really hoping this thing is going to be on YouTube so I can watch it.
I'm sure it will. Or pieces of it will definitely be recorded by the Giants and put out.
So one of my favorite Giants is George Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Not only this guy, you look at his stats. This man played defensive end and played the equivalent of 10 years without being out with an injury.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I don't know even how that's possible, but quick story about
David, George Martin will be there tonight.
Oh, damn. I love George. I have a George Martin jersey. I have a Jumbo Elliott jersey and a Tinky Barber jersey.
Oh, nice.
So, wow. That I wear on game days. But very quick story about how obsessive we are in my family's Giants fans. 1981, turning point, the Giants are playing the Cowboys for a playoff spot. The game goes long. Joe DiNello kicks a winning field goal. We were 40 minutes late for my brother's wedding.
Oh, jeez.
Because we were all in watching the game, including the groom.
Oh, wow.
No surprise that wedding ended, or that marriage ended in 25 years.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and thanks for the call, David. How in a Giants family like that is your brother allowing himself to get married on a football Sunday when the Giants are playing the Cowboys?
Maybe that's because he didn't have say in it, and that just kind of set the stage for what ultimately happened.
Let me tell you, I love my wife to death. We would not be married today if she wanted the wedding to be on a football Sunday. That is I don't care if the Giants are 2-14. That ain't happening. Speaking of that memory lane, as we mentioned, Tiki's going to be at the theater at Madison Square Garden tonight. Monday, 5:00 Eastern, Howie Rose will be in studio with us celebrating his 50 years in New York sports media, and he will be hosting a show from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Monday, celebrating his incredible memories with some incredible guests as well. WFAN, a big day for Howie Rose on Monday. Chris in Titten Falls. Chris, what's up?
Hey, boys, what's cooking? Long time no speak.
Oh, appreciate you calling back, dude.
Yeah, man. So, Tiki, a couple of great memories. And you mentioned two of the games earlier, two of my favorite games. I was at both that Saturday night game against Kansas City.
Right. Yep.
Super cold, early. Man, you and Larry Johnson going back and forth.
Yeah, that was a duel.
Yeah. And who was the kicker for the Chiefs in this game? I'll never forget. Lawrence Fiennes.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
I
didn't remember that.
I remember watching him boom kicks, and I turned to my buddy. I was like, I would love this guy as a Giants kicker, and they got him a year later.
That was a great one, and obviously I was at that game also where Shockey catches that ball in the end zone. I remember I was sitting next to Will Allen's either wife or girlfriend at the time when the field goal came through us. And we were elated, hugging. I mean, and I scalped tickets to that game last minute. I sat by myself. My brother was on the other end of the stadium, but it was great. And I'll share with you one that's most would regard as a painful memory. And for me, it's beautiful.
Go ahead.
I've only been to one Super Bowl, and it's the one you guys lost.
Yeah, 2000.
But my brother John and I got tickets a day and a half before. From our mutual friend that you and I share, Tiki. And he called me and said, hey, I can get you guys too. Do you want to go? We're like, we'll figure it out. We drove through the night, didn't have a room.
Oh, you were in New York?
And my brother,
wow.
We were in Jersey. My brother John lives out in Carlisle, PA.
Yeah.
And we met up. We met up in Central Jersey where my mother lives, drops a car. I was living in North Jersey at the time, right out of college. And we got a couple of Books on Tape at the time because that's what was available.
Right.
We drove and listened to Books on Tape, smoked cigars, drank coffee to keep us awake
through the night, got down to Tampa, found a room, slept, got up, went to the game the next day.
Awesome.
And even though it was a loss, we were on a high just then.
Right.
So I will forever love that team and what you guys gave, because it gave me a great memory with my brother. My
that's
brother-in-law
awesome.
Gave us that gift. So yeah. I will always love you guys for that.
That's awesome,
and
dude. That's a great
always
story.
Want you guys celebrated that team.
I appreciate you, man. I mean, yes, we were NFC champions in a dominant fashion and the most dominant game maybe ever played at Giant Stadium.
And that's
we destroyed them. But
for me, I've said this long before I was working. That's my favorite Giant team of all time.
Yeah.
It touched a lot of people. That year came out of nowhere, everything Fossil. So if you're going to the theater at MSG tonight, a little trip down memory lane, that's going to be awesome. I'm so thrilled for everybody that gets to be there tonight. What a fun time. By the way, one more for you, that pre-Super Bowl era.
Go ahead.
Eli's first win, checking into the run to you. I sat right in the end zone versus Dallas that night. Anytime you beat the Cowboys, I don't care, in a lost season. But setting up what would be the Super Bowl teams, though, Tiki, you scoring that touchdown to beat the Cowboys to end the season at 0-4
as well. Was a three-yard run, I believe, three-or-so-four-yard run. At that point, I was sitting at 1,515 yards or so. I think I was 2 yards behind or a yard behind Joe Morris's single-season rushing record.
Wow.
And because Eli checked into that draw and we scored that touchdown and beat the Cowboys on that game, that was the first time I became the Giants single-season rushing leader.
My buddy Alex, we had to pull over on the George Washington Bridge, and he threw up everything after that game. A little too much to drink. All right, Teak, have fun tonight.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Yankee baseball is coming up next. Yankees and Orioles as the Yankees try to win this series versus Baltimore. Thanks to Rami. We'll be back. Maybe Evan will be on jury duty. Maybe not. We'll see you tomorrow. Evan and Teaky, let's go Yankees next.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
That's right.
Right there.
Country town for Clay Holmes. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It's Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. Few more minutes till 3:25. Yankee pregame comes up your way. 4 o'clock. Yankees and Orioles, the rubber game, and of course, not a must win, but more like a gotta have it.
Yeah, for the Yankees. It's a gotta have it. Maybe have you're it. Right. It's not must win, but it is got. It's too early to be must win, but it's gotta have it.
It's not a can't lose either.
You talk about country music. You realize the last two country songs that have hit the top of the country charts have been by black artists.
You talking about Shaboozy?
Shaboozy is currently number one, but love before Shaboozy. That, it was Beyonce.
And the Post Malone one, right?
And the Post Malone one. But it's it's there's a different type of artist taking over country music.
I like it.
Have you heard the Shaboozy?
Dude, first of all, it's my dad's favorite album,
artist. Unbelievable.
Now. Yeah.
He's like Nigerian or something.
Yeah. We're getting tipsy.
He's got these dreads. Right.
Yeah.
Tipsy. Great. It's amazing.
It's a good summer drinking song, too.
That's exactly why it came at the perfect time.
Totally.
Because it doesn't matter if you like country, Eric, or not.
Right.
If you go listen to this song, you will like country.
That is definitely the song of the summer.
100%.
We're all going to be Shaboozy people at the Grammys at the end of the year. No doubt about it.
He's definitely winning.
Now, would anybody have a problem if Clay Holmes came out to some Shaboozy?
No.
Would that get the crowd rocking?
I think that's Eric's issue. Is it the song is just not, it's not like hip enough. There it is.
Yeah, this is Shaboozy.
This song is great.
It's great. I just want to like tap along, dance on the beach.
Everybody come along.
Yeah, everybody sings it at my bar.
Right. So,
you're right. If Clay Holmes came out to this, the crowd would be clapping and going nuts.
They'd be going to buy more beers. I'm serious. All right, let's go get tipsy, Clay.
Well, now it's a Thursday, and I really want to drink when I get out here. Like, hardcore.
Don't want some Shaboozy.
Yeah. Instead, I'm going to meet a baby after this, but I really would rather drink. My cousin's. All right, 888-808-1019. Everybody at Yankee Stadium getting tipsy today. All right. Let's go back to Woody in Plattsburgh. Woody, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Woody?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. My apologies. I'm at the gym. I'm on the track walking. Someone had said something to me. I took my earbud out of my ear, and I think when I put it back in, I muted the call. So
that's
my apologies.
Right,
oh, it's all good.
Everybody at the gym getting tipsy, man.
So, yeah. The place is a ghost town, I assure you. Okay, a couple things. Tiki, kudos to you.
Thank you.
Much like that loser, Evan, I keep receipts. We were on the same page when you said it, and I had already been thinking it, but the Yamamoto durability question.
Yeah, I said that way back when he was posted.
I was listening, and I was shaking, nodding my head as you were saying it. I'm like, yo, Geeky's right. Smaller guy, bigger ball, greater torque, injuries coming.
No doubt about it.
Okay, cool.
Unfortunately for him.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
But
totally
not our guy, so we don't really care. Other than being right about it, right?
he's definitely not our guy, so I could care less. But I just thought I'd give you some flowers for that. Shawnee.
What do you got, Woody?
Sean, as much as it kills me, it's nice to have regular Sean back. Depressed and wanting to jump off a cliff, Sean. I thought I would get more enjoyment out of it, but I didn't. Like, for a day, I was, like, happy. I'm like, oh, God, this is horrible. welcome back. And, of course, you're welcome on the Yankee train, Sean. I'll get you a good seat.
Woody, I'm going to address that right now. I'm glad you'll have me on the Yankee train, and unlike some people that work on the show, I'm not going to pretend that I'm leading the train. Loogie with the Mets. But what else you got, Woody?
Two things. One, I know he looks washed, but listen, DJ has about 53 at bats. Can we at least get him to 100 at bats before we take him off to the mortuary?
You're right. You're right. It's just frustrating.
Come on. Of course it's frustrating. Every second, too.
Woody, wouldn't you agree, though? It's compounded by the fact that we saw Cabrera finally start to really come into his own and play a good third base and give you a spunky bat. I think that's just the idea that you feel like you have a better option on the roster to do that every day.
Agreed.
And speaking of on the roster, and not to jump off that topic, but I just wanted to get to this before I got maybe zapped. Listen, I think the answer to the bullpen is right on the team. And listen, this is coming. Everybody can say it's not happening. Listen, Eels going to the bullpen, bro. I'm telling you, that's a fact. They can deny it all they want. For anyone that thinks he's going to be starting a game in October after Cole, you're delusional. It's not happening. He's going to the pen. Listen, bro, it's happening. Just be a man and suck it up.
I mean, it might be the best thing given their non-stated concern about the innings. However, if he keeps pitching this way through the All-Star break and comes out of the second half of the season and is just dominant and right there for this, you can't do it. You just can't.
So I'm with you. I actually agree with both of you guys. And I hate having it like disagreement. I think what Woody says makes a ton of sense, because when we think about, like the guy brought up Mason Miller, the way you dominate and end a game and have the fear of God, Luis Gil striking people out at the end of a game makes a ton of sense. And the Yankees do have depth in the rotation where right now, why wouldn't you feel confident in Carlos Rodon and Marcus Stroman? And we'll see when Clark Schmidt comes back and, of course, Nestor Cortes to start games. However, to that point, I know that Gil hasn't. Think about this. The worst that we've seen of Gil has still been pretty damn good the last two starts. If this is who Luis Gil is and he keeps cooking along and they limit his innings to five innings, something like that, how could you not start him right after Gerrit Cole?
Right. I think.
How could you go from starting in the All-Star game to you not going to start a playoff game?
Right. You can't.
You can't.
Right. So it's just the right thing to do by him.
Yeah. And I also think that Cashman lived through the Jabba Chamberlain era, which feels like, that should be talked about at the Giants 100 because it was right around that time where they kind of jerked him around and he made the most sense to be at that back end with Mariano Rivera. But by the time you pull him around, screwing him up from the bullpen back and forth only hindered his career. So maybe Cashman learns a lesson from that, and that's why you don't see Gil. Allen in Freehold. Allen, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Before I start, Tiki,
what's up?
Your name's on this show. Please tell Evan no more stupid songs. He jinxed the Mets last night.
Yeah, he totally did.
Greg Corbin used to call it Robertsitis. He just brings bad juju.
That's funny.
But I talked to you guys when you were employed in Belmar, and I told you, Tika, I had season tickets for 42 years.
Yep.
Two games come to my mind for you.
All
opening
right,
day, 1999, was August 31st, and it was a day like today. And Ron Dane was a rookie. I actually bought a T-shirt in the parking lot, Thunder and Lightning.
Oh, that was 2000. Yeah, that was the 2000.
Right, 2000.
Right.
And you were playing the Cardinals at home. And just at kickoff, everybody was lining up. Lightning hit the stadium, and everybody ran off the field. Right. We ran out of the stands.
I'll never forget it.
There's that image of Ron Dixon being scared out of his mind out there in special teams and immediately booking it for the tunnel.
That's a great one, Alan.
But Sean, Sean, you talked about 98 beating the Broncos.
Yeah.
The Broncos came in the week after the Wellington game in 05.
That was the
other one. And they were either 9-0 or 10-0, and it was a 4 o'clock start national game.
And Eli found Toomer again.
You were losing 23-16. Eli marched down the field, and with about 10 seconds left from like the 8-yard line, Eli backed up about 10 yards and got Toomer on a crossing pattern.
Right. Allen, Tiki forgot about that one.
It's funny. That's an awesome one, but I forgot about it
until Sean
brought it up, and now Allen re-brings it up. That was a great year.
Think about it.
That year was unbelievable.
That's Toomer essentially in two different eras having the same moment with different quarterbacks.
Right.
Which is versus the same team. It was incredible. That was such a... It might have been a Jake Plummer Bronco team, but either way, it was awesome.
I'm just going to look to see who the quarterback was, because I now remember that game.
I think it was Jake Plummer versus Eli, and the Broncos were really good. Now, I didn't remember it being that late in the year that it was the week after. I'm going to trust Allen on that. Yeah. I thought it was earlier in the year, but that was the moment where I think most Giant fans for us were like, oh, wow, Eli really does have something here, and this team's good.
Yeah, that was so the Broncos game was week 7, so it was the week before.
Okay.
Week before the Washington game.
And, okay.
And why I should remember this is because I remember at the time saying, This was the last game Wellington saw.
Was that Broncos game. Wow.
And it's a game that, the Giants would usually lose. But we found a way to win the last game that he saw.
Incredible.
Right. And it was Tomb and it was Eli. And it
you got to bring that game up today.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's one of my favorite games.
Without a doubt.
What a game. David in Michigan. David, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I wish I could be at the Giants thing tonight. Dickey, thank you so much for all your just years of great play.
Appreciate
classy
you.
Play.
Thank you, man.
And all of that. I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm the guy that you BS checked in real time when I told you I went to the 91 Super Bowl with Andy Rooney.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah, we found it. We found it, though.
We did find that. I remember that.
And, yeah, I couldn't believe you guys real-time checked me in that. And I passed. I
yes,
passed
you did. Bunch. You oh. did. You have cred forever now.
So I want to tell you something. In terms of I have an unusual, like, favorite Giant who I don't know if he's going to be there tonight. And I'm really hoping this thing is going to be on YouTube so I can watch it.
I'm sure it will. Or pieces of it will definitely be recorded by the Giants and put out.
So one of my favorite Giants is George Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Not only this guy, you look at his stats. This man played defensive end and played the equivalent of 10 years without being out
right.
with an injury. Yeah,
that's right. Incredible.
I don't know even how that's possible, but
right.
quick story about
By the way, David, yeah. George yeah. Martin will be there tonight.
Oh, damn. I love George. I have a George Martin jersey. I have a Jumbo Elliott jersey and a Stinky Barber jersey.
Oh, nice.
So, wow. That I wear on game days. But very quick story about how obsessive we are and my family's Giants fans. 1981, turning point. The Giants are playing the Cowboys for a playoff spot. The game goes long. Joe DiNello kicks a winning field goal. We were 40 minutes late for my brother's wedding.
Oh, jeez.
Because we were all in watching the game, including the groom.
Oh, wow.
No surprise that wedding ended, or that marriage ended in like 5 years.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and thanks for the call, David. How in a Giants family like that is your brother allowing himself to get married on a football Sunday when the Giants are playing the Cowboys?
Maybe that's because he didn't have say in it, and that just kind of set the stage for what ultimately happened.
Let me tell you, I love my wife to death. We would not be married today if she wanted the wedding to be on a football Sunday. That is I don't care if the Giants are 2-14. That ain't happening. Speaking of that memory lane, as we mentioned, Tiki's going to be at the theater at Madison Square Garden tonight. Monday, 5:00 Eastern, Howie Rose will be in studio with us celebrating his 50 years in New York sports media, and he will be hosting a show from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Monday, celebrating his incredible memories with some incredible guests as well. WFAN, a big day for Howie Rose on Monday. Chris in Tinton Falls. Chris, what's up?
Hey, boys, what's cooking? Long time no speak.
Oh, appreciate you calling back, dude.
Yeah, man. So, Tiki, a couple of great memories. And you mentioned two of the games earlier, two of my favorite games. I was at both that Saturday night game against Kansas City.
Right. Yep.
Super cold, early. Man, you and Larry Johnson going back and forth.
Yeah, that was a duel.
Yeah. And who was the kicker for the Chiefs in this game? I'll never forget. Lawrence Fiennes.
Oh, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't remember that.
I remember watching him boom kicks, and I turned to my buddy. I was like, I would love this guy as a Giants kicker, and they got him a year later.
That was a great one, and obviously I was at that game also where Shockey catches that ball in the end zone. I remember I was sitting next to Will Allen's either wife or girlfriend at the time when the field goal came through us. And we were elated, hugging. I mean, and I scalped tickets to that game last minute. I sat by myself. My brother was on the other end of the stadium, but it was great. And I'll share with you one that most would regard as a painful memory. And for me, it's beautiful.
Go ahead.
I've only been to one Super Bowl, and it's the one you guys lost.
Yeah, 2000.
But my brother John and I got tickets a day and a half before. From our mutual friend that you and I share, Tiki. And he called me and said, hey, I can get you guys too. Do you want to go? We're like, we'll figure it out. We drove through the night, didn't have a room.
Oh, you were in New York?
My brother,
wow.
We were in Jersey. My brother John lives out in Carlisle, PA.
Yeah.
And we met up. We met up in central Jersey where my mother lives, drops a car. I was living in North Jersey at the time, right out of college. and we got a couple of books on tape at the time because that's what was available.
Right.
We drove and listened to books on tape, smoked cigars, drank coffee to keep us awake through the night, got down to Tampa, found a room, slept, got up, went to the game the next day.
Awesome.
And even though it was a loss, we were on a high just then.
Right.
So I will forever love that team and what you guys gave because it gave me a great memory with my brother. My brother-in-law gave us that gift. So yeah. I will always love you guys for that.
That's awesome, and dude. That's a great
always
story.
Want you guys celebrated that team.
I appreciate you, man. I mean, yes, we were NFC champions in the dominant fashion and the most dominant game maybe ever played at Giant Stadium.
And that's why
we destroyed them. But
for me, I've said this long before I was working. That's my favorite Giant team of all time.
Yeah.
It touched a lot of people. That year came out of nowhere. Everything Fossil. So if you're going to the theater at MSG tonight, a little trip down memory lane, that's going to be awesome. I'm so thrilled for everybody that gets to be there tonight. What a fun time. By the way, one more for you, that pre-Super Bowl era.
Go ahead.
Eli's first win, checking into the run to you. I sat right in the end zone versus Dallas that night. Anytime you beat the Cowboys, I don't care, in a lost season. But setting up what would be the Super Bowl teams, though, Tiki, you scoring that touchdown to beat the Cowboys to end the season in 04 as well.
That was a three-yard run, I believe, three or so four-yard run. At that point, I was sitting at 1,515 yards or so. I think I was 2 yards behind or a yard behind Joe Morris's single-season rushing record.
Wow.
And because Eli checked into that draw and we scored that touchdown and beat the Cowboys on that game, that was the first time I became the Giants single season rushing leader.
My buddy Alex, we had to pull over on the George Washington Bridge and he threw up everything after that game. A little too much to drink. All right, Teek, have fun tonight.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Yankee baseball is coming up next. Yankees and Orioles as the Yankees try to win this series versus Baltimore. Thanks to Rami. We'll be back. Maybe Evan will be on jury duty. Maybe not. We'll see you tomorrow. Evan and Tiki, let's go Yankees next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!